To begin with, we can contemplate the suffering of our family and close friends. And then we can extend our mind of compassion until it embraces all living beings. Okay, so there's a bit more to come, but what I want to say is, to make this work for you, usually we need to start with something that moves our mind, something that touches our heart. So, if you already have a person or some people like your family and friends for whom you naturally feel compassion, when you contemplate their suffering, you naturally have this feeling coming without any effort. You're not meditating, it just comes naturally because you love them. If you have that, take it, take that feeling, because that is compassion. Okay? Then we extend our mind of compassion until it embraces all living beings. Okay, so you stay with the feeling. You keep the feeling that, this is compassion. Compassion for my mum, compassion for my brother, my sister, like this. I have this compassion. Now I need to extend it. And so you just allow that feeling to come out of your heart and to spread and to cover each and every living being. You can visualize all living beings throughout the universe and imagine you have this compassionate feeling for them. Then you've got compassion for all living beings. That's my way. Geshe-la says, when this feeling of universal compassion arises, we mix our mind with it and try to hold it for as long as we can. In this way, we can familiarize our mind with great compassion. That is very skillful for beginners particularly, maybe even for non-beginners. At first, we will probably only be able to hold this feeling for a few minutes. Geshe-la, very kind. I mean, for a few nanoseconds. But gradually, through training, we will be able to maintain it for longer and longer periods until it arises spontaneously day and night and permeates all our thoughts. Okay? So, compassion permeates you. What does it mean to say something permeates something else? It means that feature, and in this case, compassion, is within your thoughts. Your thoughts are contained within them. You're not thinking, I'm compassionate. You're having a thought, and compassion is in there. If you contemplate how that works, you'll understand compassion cannot permeate anger. These are like fire and water, these two. When anger comes, like fire, compassion disappears. You need lots of compassion to overcome anger. So how? You have to get the compassion first. Anger is much stronger for us than compassion. Very easy to lose compassion, become angry. So, this technique of allowing it to spread, allowing the feeling of compassion to spread throughout our mind with respect to all living beings, and then carrying the feeling so that it's in our thoughts. You're not thinking, I want to be compassionate. It's just there. You see a living being, you know they're suffering, compassion's there. From that point onwards, everything we do, will bring us closer to enlightenment, and our whole life will become meaningful. This is a huge step, isn't it? There's a lot of training required to make ourselves become a compassionate person. Some people say, well, I'm naturally compassionate. Maybe that's true. However, unless we've trained in universal compassion, it's definite I can find someone who you will not have compassion for. It's definite. Isn't it? We all have them in here, these people. Yes, compassion for them, but not that one. We are so biased, we are so prejudiced, we are so ignorant, basically, as Geshe-la says. Ignorance is unbelievable. The danger of self-grasping is unbelievable. How it dominates our mind and makes us pervert, makes us twist even Buddha's teachings to our own purposes, justifies lots of strange things that we do, me included. In summary, we should think, this is the second meditation, I cannot bear the suffering of these countless mother beings. Drowning in the vast and deep ocean of samsara, the cycle of contaminated rebirth, they have to experience unbearable physical suffering and mental pain in this life and in countless future lives. I must permanently liberate all these living beings from their suffering. We should meditate continually on this determination, which is universal compassion, and apply great effort to fulfilling its aim. Now, repeating those words over and over again in your mind will not make you generate compassion. I'm sorry, it won't work. We have to begin at the beginning. Turn the page over. Contemplate the sufferings of our family and close friends, or at least one person who you have love for. Not you, not yourself. Okay? No. Others. Okay? Get the feeling of the unbearability. You know how it feels. It's unbearable. And somebody you love is suffering. You can't bear it. Then we extend our mind of compassion until it embraces all living beings. It's a simple instruction, isn't it? Why is it so complicated for us? It's complicated by our self-grasping ignorance that is grasping at inherently evil people or evil beings or being, all this stuff. So much discrimination. But compassion will help us to develop wisdom. You know, compassion will help us to develop wisdom. Wisdom without compassion, not very powerful, really. Not very powerful. You know? We need compassion. Yeah, so this mind of compassion embraces all living beings. Well, what is it? It's a feeling of unbearability, being unable to bear the suffering of others. Right now, we're very easy. It's very easy for us to bear the suffering of others. Yeah? When we see the suffering of others normally, we think to ourselves, oh, that's horrible. I wish their suffering could stop. That's not compassion, is it? Not compassion. You're making compassionate noises. Oh, that's horrible. I wish their suffering could stop. I'm so virtuous. But you're not. You're just ignorant. You're saying what seems to be right. Sorry. Not looking at anyone in particular. But, you know, we really need to be honest, don't we? What is compassion? It's being unable to bear the suffering of living beings. Huh? Now, if we are able to bear the suffering of living beings, what is this telling us? It's telling us we don't love them. We don't consider them to be a kind mother. We don't have any consideration of that person's a sentient being at all. It's, oh, well, look at them. They're so wealthy. They're so privileged. We've got all these reasons why we don't want compassion. But everybody, without exception, is a suitable object of our compassion. Everybody. It's a way to solve the world's problems, isn't it, by teaching people how to do this and overcome all these sharp discriminations. This is a bad person, a good person. Wrong. So then we meditate continually on this determination, which is universal compassion. Then, Geshe-la gives advice about what to do when we're out of meditation. Guess what? He says we try to carry this strong feeling of compassion for all living beings with us all the time, without forgetting it. It's like sobering up after a drinking session. This is my experience, by the way. When compassion develops, there's no longer any giddiness in the mind. This sort of overexcitement that we have sometimes, this kind of mind, because Geshe Langri Tangpa, at the beginning of the book, you know, there's an explanation about his nickname was Grimface. It's going to be Blackface, but that's Grimface. Because he couldn't smile. So there's so much suffering and samsara. How can you smile about this? His mind was full of compassion. So we should think, you know, why am I smiling? Why am I happy when there's so much suffering going on? We should ask ourselves, why? What do I have to be happy about when all living beings are suffering? How can I indulge myself with this pleasure seeking and giddiness and all the rest of it? How can I do that when all these people are suffering? How? Of course we have to make ourselves happy. Yes, but compassion will make us supremely happy and sober as well. It's very sobering. Anyway, so sorry. Whenever we see, hear, or remember any living being, we immediately remember their situation and develop compassion for them. We should learn this. All sentient beings have to experience suffering in life after life. And we develop compassion for them. We continuously develop strong compassion during the meditation session, and then we remember this strong compassion throughout our subsequent practice by relying upon strong mindfulness, remembering, I feel compassionate. I'm not going to let go of this feeling of compassion. Every sentient being I see, I have this feeling for. We use all our encounters to remind us of our compassion, such as whenever we see, meet, or communicate with, or remember any living being, our compassion for them manifests immediately. By practicing in this way, in both the meditation session and the meditation break, our compassion will become stronger day by day, month by month, and year by year. So, what excuses do we have? You know, we often think, oh, well, I'm distracted at work, or I'm distracted at home with my family, or I'm distracted by my own silly thoughts, or whatever. But it's very, very rare that our mind is not perceiving sentient beings, isn't it? Very rare. Right now I'm perceiving hundreds of you. We're always perceiving, and we're seeing, or we're listening to, or we're thinking about sentient beings. So Geshe-la's telling us the way to develop compassion is to continue to remember compassion for these living beings. In other words, to remember their real situation. They're all really in samsara. Really, they're all in this cycle of impure life. However high they go, they soon go low. Up and down, samsara goes round and round. So whoever we see, however shiny and wealthy they appear to be, it doesn't matter, they're suffering. So immediately we develop compassion. We stop all this incredible negative thinking we have. I know it's incredible because I do it myself, of course. But it's the enemy thinking like that, justifying our non-compassion, justifying our cruelty, and so it's wrong, completely wrong. So what I'm trying to say here is that it's very easy to develop compassion for other living beings if we simply remember their situation. You know, what situation are they in? Oh, they're in samsara. Oh, that's awful. Huh? It's going to come, isn't it, compassion? If we just look at superficially living beings, oh, look, they look wealthy, they look healthy. Why do they need my compassion? It's wrong. Wrong perception. We're not using our wisdom when we think like that. Sorry, I go back to Geshe-la before I lose my composure. If I have any, right. Geshe-la says, the more our compassion increases, the purer our mind will become, until eventually it will be completely purified through compassion.